The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast joins you once again, heading into a week where you can finally watch some Brewers baseball before you go to bed. It was a tough one for people who struggle staying awake past 10 o'clock, like maybe perhaps myself, as the Brewers played six games on the West Coast. Only one day game, that was on Sunday, against the Los Angeles Dodgers. A loss that left the Brewers at 2-4 on the West Coast trip, or the Los Angeles trip, rather, to face the Angels and the Dodgers. Brewers took 2 of 3 from the Dodgers, which was a nice turnaround after getting swept by the Angels. Kind of a frustrating road trip. After the Brewers started the year 8-2, they remain in first place, going into a three-game set with the St. Louis Cardinals beginning at Miller Park on Monday. The Cardinals a half game back of the Brewers for first place in the NL Central. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast. I'm going to be joined shortly by Todd Rosiak, where we'll talk a little bit about this Milwaukee Brewers team over the past week. It's been a little bit of tough sledding, especially for the pitching staff, which has really struggled to get on any sort of rhythm. The three young starters in the rotation in particular have struggled. Freddie Peralta, coming off his phenomenal start against the Reds, could not replicate that, giving up 6 runs in the first against the Angels. Corbin Burnes has now famously given up 3 home runs in each of his first 3 starts, 9 homers for the year, 16 earned runs in 14 and a third innings, a really tough going for him. Brandon Woodruff has fared a little bit better. He has still allowed 10 earned runs in 15 innings, and so the Brewers' young pitching looking a little tough right now, but Zach Davies on the bright side has been very good, and certainly you can expect probably a little bit better from Yoli Chacin than you've seen in the early season, and hey, the young guys can only get better, right? We'll talk about that, though, with Todd Rosiak before I get to him. Want you to know that you can find us on Apple Podcasts. If you have not done so already, please leave us a rating or review. You can also find us on Stitcher and Spotify. The Milwaukee Bucks podcast that I host with Matt Velasquez is obviously something you're going to want as well. Find it in those places. Find it on jsonline.com. Because the Bucks are in the playoffs, and if you watched Sunday, you saw them deliver a beatdown in Game 1 of that first-round series with the Detroit Pistons. Absolute shellacking, which had to make you feel good as a Bucks fan. It's looking very promising for Milwaukee. Milwaukee sports across the board, the Bucks the top seed in the East, so you'll want to check that out in addition to this Brewers podcast here for the next several weeks. Going to be a shorter podcast today, so let's get to it and chat with Todd Rosiak. Here he is, Todd Rosiak, Journal Sentinel beat reporter covering the Milwaukee Brewers. He will be back at Miller Park starting on Monday when the Brewers open up a homestand with the St. Louis Cardinals. Brewers coming off this West Coast road trip, Todd, and I know the story top of mind for everybody is the pitching staff. The starters have struggled. The relievers, for the most part, have been okay, but starting pitching is right now, it's the fifth highest ERA in all of baseball among starting pitchers at 5.11. Yoli Chacin got roughed up on Sunday. It's been ugly. I don't know if there's any real maneuvers the Brewers could make here, though. It doesn't really seem like there's anything they can do except be patient, and that's going to be frustrating if that's the case. But what is your diagnosis of the situation, and is there anything they can do besides just be patient?
Yeah, I think it's way too early to panic at this point. Maybe it's all the days and weeks and months and years I've been listening to Craig Counsell. Maybe that's rubbed off on me, but I'm pretty much the same way. I mean, we're what, 2 weeks into the season here? Yeah, I mean, there are some concerning things, no question. You know, Corbin Burnes with the home runs is obviously a big factor, and Brandon Woodruff and Freddie Peralta have been a little bit inconsistent. You know, Chacin has not been the Yoli Chacin that we saw at the end of last year or down the stretch last year and in the playoffs. You know, who could have predicted, as Tom, I think, tweeted out earlier today that Zach Davies is going to be the stalwart of the rotation to this point. But, you know, I mean, I think the Brewers understood and the Brewers knew and the Brewers probably internally expected that there were going to be some struggles along the way when you're counting on 3 really young, inexperienced guys in the middle of that rotation. So we're seeing the kind of the bumps in the road with that at this point. And now it's going to be incumbent on the pitchers and the coaching staff to get things squared away. You know, obviously there's still plenty of talent there. It's way too early to panic. You know, if Corbin Burnes can get the homer thing under control, I think he's, you know, certainly plenty good to continue to stay in the rotation. You know, Chassin, I wouldn't worry about in the least. Just, you know, a little bit of a rough stretch. He's been a slow starter. I think that's another thing that Tom had written about today off of the game. Hasn't had the greatest Aprils in his career or last year either. So, you know, it's just one of these things where you got to kind of weather the storm. And as time goes on here, I would expect these guys to pick it up. If that doesn't happen, you know, if we're talking about this in another, you know, 10 days or so, something like that, then, you know, maybe it's time to start examining other options. And, you know, what do they have right now internally? You know, I mean, you could certainly go with a guy like Junior Guerra, but is he stretched out enough to start games right now? I don't know. I don't think so. You know, Chase Anderson, again, is he stretched out enough to start games? I don't know. You know, you look in the upper reaches of the minors and in AAA, you know, Adrian Hauser is a possibility. He's been starting games down there, but do you want to make that change this soon? Could you be looking at him as a potential bullpen option right now? I think that's a possibility. You know, Zach Brown would be another name that would probably pop to mind, but that's really about it. And, you know, of course, we're waiting on Jimmy Nelson too. He's still a ways away, I would expect. So I think you just got to kind of weather the storm and work with these guys, and hopefully they get it squared away sooner than later.
Obviously, I think the one player that everyone is a little concerned about is Corbin Burnes, because we talked about him a little bit on the last podcast. Three homers now in three straight starts. And when it's two starts, obviously that's the tiniest of samples. Three starts is still a small sample. We know he's going to make his next start, and he'll probably make his next start after that no matter what happens. But three straight starts of three home runs each, and fastball command struggling like it is, it is slowly becoming a red flag. It's easy from a fan perspective to look at this, and you're talking about the internal options. Dallas Keuchel is still out there. The team could theoretically sign him and put Burnes back in a role that he was good at in past years in the bullpen. We know the team is committed to having him be a starter, but when there is this sort of this problem with the home run ball, and let's say it goes another start or two, do you think the team would entertain, maybe not the Keuchel part of it, but just having to put him back in a situation where he's comfortable?
I mean, certainly, I think that's something that would have to be explored if he does, you know, continue to struggle and continue to give up the home run ball. At least the Brewers know that he's had success in the big leagues doing that. You know, maybe you can kind of press the reset button there. Certainly getting a guy like Corbin Burnes in the bullpen who's done it before, albeit, you know, over the course of just half a season last year. Certainly that would be a boon for the bullpen, I would think. But then again, you've got to have a better solution for the rotation at that point. So you're, you know, creating one hole to plug another sort of idea. But I guess that would be the convenient fallback plan. And I would think that, you know, that would be something that could be considered. You know, we heard a lot about the Corbin Burnes' five-pitch mix. Craig Counsell swears it's a four-pitch mix. Burnes says it's five. Corbin Burnes, you know, had been saying all along he was excited to get to that once he was starting games. He was essentially only throwing a fastball and a slider last year out of the bullpen. You know, do you simplify things? If you look at, you know, his best start to date was his first start against the Cardinals, where he did give up those three homers, but he also struck out 12. And he talked after the game about basically using that same bullpen mix, the fastball and the slider. That's what was working. So I don't know. I mean, is he overcomplicating things? Is it just a matter of him, you know, leaving his fastball in a bad spot every time? I'm not quite sure. Since I wasn't on this trip, I wasn't following as closely, but not sure what those pitches were that he gave up the home runs on his last start. You know, is there a trend there? But yeah, at the very least, you've got the track record with him where you could potentially plug him into the bullpen, kind of let him reset, and then you reevaluate your options from there. But I think that would be kind of last ditch scenario. They certainly want to get him squared away and get his confidence back to where it needs to be, and continue to keep him in the rotation if at all possible.
The bullpen will be getting a reinforcement here very shortly with Jeremy Jeffress about to make his return to the big league roster. He's had a rough go in his minor league rehab start, giving up his own share of home runs, and his velocity doesn't seem to be where it would be normally. I think everybody understands minor league rehab starts. You might be working on things. You're just trying to get feel for pitches. You may not be throwing your full repertoire. There's all those caveats. But at the same time, the results have been kind of surprising for a guy who was a dominant reliever with the big league team last year. When you see what he did in the minor leagues, I mean, the team's bringing him back. They're comfortable with him, you know, coming back to the team. But does it give you pause that he hasn't had any real success results-wise when he's pitching at AAA?
Yeah, definitely does. The one thing that you can point to is the fact that he is pitching in the Pacific Coast League, which, again, is a, you know, it's a hitter's league. Granted, it would have been interesting to see what kind of numbers he would have put up if the Brewers were still in Colorado Springs, right? But I think that has to be factored in, the fact that that is a hitter's league, and a lot of the ballparks are tilted toward the hitters. The numbers have been ugly. There's no question about it. Craig Counsell admitted that today out at Dodger Stadium when Tom asked him about that. And you know, it's going to be interesting to see when he gets back, what kind of role they're going to use him in. I know Craig Counsell likes to talk about he's just going to get outs, and that's all well and good. But I certainly would expect them to kind of ease him in and not immediately throw him into high leverage situations and pressure, big pressure situations, kind of let him get his feet under him a little bit. But, you know, where is he at? You know, the health apparently is not the issue. You know, his shoulder is strong finally. And, you know, we haven't gotten any definitive velo readouts or reports from what he did in the minor leagues, but it sounds by all accounts that he's getting back to where he would be normally. So, you know, I think then it just becomes a factor of comfort with the pitches, you know, like you had mentioned, unleashing your whole repertoire and everything. You know, that's what spring training is for. So he's essentially kind of going through his spring training all over again at this point. And, you know, maybe you factor in the adrenaline thing a little bit too. You know, he's a guy who really thrives on adrenaline and, you know, seem to step up in the really big situations and the big moments. That's hard to replicate, you know, even at AAA, as opposed to pitching in a major league game. So, you know, a lot of things that are going to have to come together for him, I think, before he's activated. I'm guessing here, but it's probably going to be Tuesday that he's activated and joins the team. Maybe tomorrow, Monday, but probably Tuesday. So again, it's just going to be interesting to see when he gets back. You know, can he hit the ground running, so to speak? Because if he can, that would be a really kind of a big boon for this team and this bullpen that definitely needs some stabilization outside of Josh Hader and then, surprisingly, Junior Guerra.
It's not all doom and gloom for the Brewers. You mentioned Hader and Guerra right there, but in general, the team is 10-6. They are first place in the National League Central, heading into a battle with the Cardinals, a half game back in the 3 weeks into the season. I know we're not really scoreboard watching just yet, but Yasmani Grandal has been incredible. He really tore up his old team, the Los Angeles Dodgers, this weekend. He had, I think, 4 straight hitless games to start the year, and in the 10 games since, I think he's been hitless just one time. He's got 6 multi-hit games, 4 homers. He's pounding the ball. Christian Yelich had that hot start, but if we're talking about MVP of the first 3 weeks of the season, I think it might be Yasmani Grandal, especially when you factor in the framing that he's capable of that's helped Zach Davies get off to such a good start.
Yeah, Grandal has been incredible. And, you know, again, you know, I always joke about Twitter overreacting to everything. And, you know, I did see some people grumbling after that first series about, you know, Grandal hadn't really done anything. Well, you know, look at him now. It's been incredible. And I think one of the real encouraging things about him is the fact that he's been hitting well from the right side of the plate and showing some power from the right side of the plate. The left side is clearly his stronger side. So, you know, to be able to have that balance as a switch hitter, it's just so valuable in the Brewers lineup, and to be able to put him up there as a right-handed hitter against the, you know, the occasional lefties that you're going to see, and know that he's going to present a real power threat and a real offensive threat is a big thing and a good thing. And, you know, you mentioned the framing, you know, we've talked about him before, I believe, just the fact that he's so cerebral behind the plate and he's going to have his hiccups, you know, with pass balls and such. That's been well chronicled. But, you know, that's a guy that just, you know, just consumes video and is just constantly thinking about ways to improve and ways to be on the same page with his pitchers and everything. And, you know, when you just look at that whole package that he presents behind the plate and also offensively, this is, you know, this is the Yasmani Grandal, I think, that the Brewers were really expecting and hoping for when they signed him unexpectedly to that 1-year free agent deal in January. So definitely off to a good start and been a big, big part of this offense to date.
Another big part's been Mike Moustakas. His overall numbers aren't gonna jump out at you, but he does seem to be seeing the ball very well. He's up to 5 home runs this season. Hit a few on this road trip. Just want to sort of check in defensively. Him playing second base. We've talked a lot about that. He's first time at second base to allow Travis Shaw to stay in the lineup at third base. There have been a couple iffy double plays in there, I know, but just from what you've seen, just observed over the course of the year, how does he look to you at second base? Does he look comfortable, or do you think this is going to be a work in progress for a while yet?
I think it's pretty much what we were told to expect, and probably what we all expected was it is what it is. You know, he you mentioned the shifting and everything, and you know how much the Brewers use Orlando Arcia over on that side anyway in a lot of those shifts. You know, he's been able to make all the necessary plays. You know, you mentioned the double play turns as well. That's the big factor. I think that's going to be the work in progress. And I haven't seen all of them, but, you know, the ones that I have seen, they're not the smoothest in the world. It seems like more often than not, he's getting the job done. I think it's probably just more of a confidence thing and a timing thing. He certainly has a strong enough arm to make a good throw from there, you know, considering that he played third base for all those years and showed a strong arm over there. So, you know, I just think it's one of those things probably where, like anything, the more opportunities he gets and the more chances he sees in those situations, the better he's going to wind up doing, you know. We were all, I don't know if all of us were, but I think many of us were highly skeptical that Travis Shaw could do a decent job over there last year. And, you know, the double play thing aside, just doing, you know, making the requisite plays over there and doing all the things that he needed to do, he did a great job. And I think, you know, Mike Moustakas is right along those same lines as Travis Shaw at this point. So, you know, I've seen nothing to indicate that that's going to be a problem or should be considered a problem moving forward.
It certainly helps having Orlando Arcia next door to him, because I don't know if I've seen him make any like highlight reel plays to this point, but he has been really reliable. And when he's in the shift, he gets to some things that I just don't think normal people should be able to get to. So that certainly helps the cause as well. It's sort of an offbeat question. I'm going to page back in time and ask about a player who's not on the Brewers anymore, and that is outfielder Chris Davis of the Oakland Athletics. He's out to be the first player in baseball this year to get to 10 home runs. He's hit 40 home runs each of the past 3 seasons in Oakland. Since the Brewers traded him, they acquired Jacob Nottingham, a catcher in the system, and a pitcher in the system, Bubba Derby. So it kind of remains to be seen what those guys will evolve into, but pretty clearly the Oakland Athletics got, you know, a very nice player. Even though he's not the type of guy who plays in the field, he's almost exclusively a DH. We saw him defensively in Milwaukee, and it wasn't always pretty with his arm, even though he could run down a fly ball. Do you think there's any scenario where Chris Davis could have worked in Milwaukee? Because you see, I see him play, and I know that some people get bummed out that a player blossomed elsewhere, but I just don't know if there was any scenario where Chris Davis was going to stick in Milwaukee, being unable to really play an outfield position. Was there any scenario where you think he could have stuck around here?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible to see what he's done. And this is a player that's kind of near and dear to my heart. And I say that just because I still remember the first time I ever talked to him in the clubhouse in spring training, his first year that he was up with the big league team and in major league camp. And he just seemed like a really interesting guy to me. And I remember just introducing myself to him, and he seemed like really cerebral and studious and intense. And he was just a lot different from a lot of the guys in the clubhouse in terms of his approach, even as a minor league guy. And just to kind of see what he's become has been pretty incredible. And you know, he was a little enigmatic when he was with the Brewers. You know, he wasn't with the team long enough, I don't think, to kind of really get on the radar screen in that regard. But I know a lot of the media kind of looked at him that way. But I thought he was different and refreshing, and it's cool to see him doing well out there. It sounds like he's really liking Oakland and everything. But to answer your question, I don't see where it could have worked with the Brewers. You know, you mentioned the lack of a throwing arm. You know, they had tried him at first base, and it just was apparent it was not going to work there. You know, what can you do with a guy like that in the National League? You know, you can't, even in left field, his arm was a pretty big detriment. He could make the plays defensively. He can run out there. You know, I remember him making some pretty nice catches, running into the wall and such, and diving catches and everything. But over the course of the season, that throwing arm is going to catch up with you. And, you know, you can look at the amount of games that he's played in left field for the A's, which has not been many. He's been mostly a DH out there. So I think all things considered, if you could press the rewind button, you know, the Brewers probably would trade him again. But knowing what you know, certainly you would expect a bigger haul than what they got. You know, David Stearns had a prior, he had inside information on Jacob Nottingham since he was drafted by the Astros, and you know, David Stearns was with the Astros and everything, and they kind of saw him as a catcher of the future type. And it's still too early to say that he can't be that, but you know, the way he's trending right now, he's kind of looking like maybe a career major league backup kind of guy. And Bubba Derby, again, you know, a guy that, you know, it really hasn't stood out at any level to this point. So certainly the haul that the Brewers got for Chris Davis in retrospect was not enough. But again, who could have ever predicted that Chris Davis would lead the major leagues in homers from the time that the Brewers drafted him till now? I don't think anybody would have ever guessed that.
I put up a little summary at jsonline.com looking at Davis. Domingo Santana off to a hot start. Jordan Lyles, who was here last year, kind of an unexpected quick start with the Pirates. And Eric Kratz with a walk-off hit. It was not a hit. It was a fielder's choice, but walk-off batted ball in an 18-inning game for the Giants to kick off the weekend. So check that out at jsonline.com. That's also the place where you can find everything written by Todd Rosiak. Again, he'll be back covering the Brewers starting on Monday with the series against the St. Louis Cardinals, followed by the Dodgers 4-game set at Miller Park. Todd, thanks for joining us. We're going to chat again real soon.
Sounds good, JR. Take it easy.
That's all we got for today. No special interview or anything. We'll try to get back on that train this week as the Brewers return home. 3 games against the Cardinals, 4 games against the Dodgers. It's going to be Cardinals-Dodgers back and forth here a little bit. They just saw the Dodgers. They'll also have more Cardinals in St. Louis once this homestand is complete, this week-long homestand. And so some tough opponents. We talked about how tough April figured to be for the Brewers. They get off to that great start, and now they're a little bit not in quite the same situation, but still at 10-6, gotta feel pretty good about that. And hopefully they can string some wins together and have a pretty big cushion before they head back out onto the road. Thanks for listening to the Milwaukee Brewers Journal Sentinel podcast. Again, my name J.R. Radcliffe. Find me on Twitter and let me know what you think at J.R. Radcliffe. That's J-R-R-A-D-C-L-I-F-F-E. For Todd Rosiak, we will catch you again very soon. Thanks.